What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our expert interview questions, or our Friday episodes where we get to ask questions to short-term rental investors. Today, we've got Miss Molly Markey joining us. And Molly, I'm really excited about our conversation. We were talking before we hit record. We're really missing Ned as part of this conversation. But you said that he promised that he would get on with me and talk some of the stuff that he's doing. So, but we're really excited about this conversation today. And so thanks for joining me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on the show. And yeah. And my husband, Ned, is eager to hop on as well. And so anything I miss, he'd be happy to piggyback on.
Love it. Love it. You guys, we'll dive into, you know, the nice portfolio you guys have built. Seven properties, right? Is it seven properties at this stage? Yeah. So a nice portfolio of short-term rentals in a lot of different markets. So we're going to dive into all of that stuff. But before we get started, I love to know where you guys are from, where the background is, kind of what got you interested in short-term rentals in the first place, and then we'll dive right into that.
Sure. We live in central Wisconsin. So currently March 18th, frozen tundra land. We just got 30 inches of snow over the weekend.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Oh, we want some of that out west. We have no snow here.
I know. Everybody's begging us to send it. So, we live in Wisconsin actually completely purposefully. One of the things that Ned's really working on in his own life and building is the concept of life by design. Because we were fortunate as young kids, we met each other in our early 20s and really started designing our life, a life by design. Yeah. And he was, he spent many years, I followed him around the country for 8 years while he became a dentist, furthering his education. And when we got to the point where it was time to start really thinking about where we wanted to settle, he had already gotten his pilot's license at that point. Yeah. And we said, gosh, we have a really cool country that we live in. But if we're going to fly places, let's be centralized, because then we can get to the East Coast, the West Coast, down to Florida. And so that's what we did. And he happens to have his parents in Wisconsin. So that was a bonus. But yeah, we just from the get-go started designing our life intentionally that way. And so we're centralized in Wisconsin, but we have built our vacation portfolio in Wyoming, Colorado, Florida, and Washington State.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. And it's, I didn't know the backstory of like, hey, listen, we're going to be centrally located. I know Ned flies and you guys have a beautiful plane. I'm super jealous. It's like, it's awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm. And, being able to be that centrally located too, that was always part of the plan. And so that's really fun to hear that. And so you guys got started into the vacation rental world back in 2017. So quite a bit before a lot of people got introduced to it, which was post COVID. And so take me through that process, you know, and I love the life by design. You know, I always say build that life you don't want to take a vacation from, which is kind of you know, the same type of concept, right? It's like, hey, listen, let's be very intentional about what we're setting up. What got you interested back then? I know I was in that game back then, before that actually, but that 2015 to like 18, 19 was kind of really when it really started gaining popularity. So for you guys, being the first acquisition back in 2017, what got you guys interested in short-term rentals back then before it was super like popular?
Well, we were already in long-term rentals. So we were doing the rental thing. Mm-hmm. We actually, our first house together as a married couple was a duplex, and we lived in a tiny unit upstairs and then had a unit that we rented out to a family downstairs. And we had another property. So we were already doing that. But one summer, 2017, we took a family vacation out west. And it was kind of one of those first family vacations that feel like a family vacation because our kids were just creeping out of the toddler stage. We have three daughters that were born in 3 years. So we were boom, boom, boom.
You were busy. Yeah.
We were busy, but we went out west and we landed in a little town in Wyoming called Alpine, Wyoming. And we had some family friends that lived there. So we went to visit them and see the area. And Ned like fell in love. There was a runway. There were views of the mountains. You could drive to Yellowstone National Park and Teton National Park. So we just really fell in love with the area. So he immediately got a hold of a realtor. And we went through, I think, three houses and picked our favorite.
Yeah.
Prices were really good back then. They've gone up a lot in the area, which is incredible to see the home value. We've done really well on that house. And he said, let's buy this house as a second home, but let's short-term rental it. And I was like still in, you know, young mommy phase, very busy with young kids. And I said to him, that's fine. But when we come vacation to this house, I want the cleaning lady to show up for us, just like the cleaning lady shows up for our guests. And that was a done deal.
Yeah, that was all you had. As long as he agreed to that, it was okay to buy it, right?
I just was like, I can't clean up as we try to depart and get something ready for someone else to come in. So anyway, that was our compromise on that. And it did really well. And we, I've shared with you before, we really do our own interior design. Ned is the numbers person on our team. I'm more the design person on our team. So we purchased all the stuff we wanted to be able to outfit that house and really get it themed up with bison and elk. You can see the bison behind me if you're watching on the video format. Fell in love with the area and the wildlife. So we wanted to really show that off as part of the vacation rental. This is pre-Vodacy, by the way. So we've learned a lot through Vodacy and improved that stuff. But this was our first go around. Purchased everything in Wisconsin and then drove it all with three kids in tow across the country to set it up. So it was exhausting. But by the time we had it set up and we were ready to host people, we said, this was so much fun. I could imagine doing this in Florida. And instead of bison and elk, we'd be talking palm trees and flamingos.
Yeah.
And that is how our company, Cowboys and Mermaids Vacation Rentals, came to be.
I love it. I love, and by the way, like I've always been like, I hear a lot of brands and a lot of house names and company names and your guys is my favorite company name. I always wish I would have thought of it first because I love Cowboys and Mermaids. It like just, it like covers the whole thing and I love it.
That's exactly what I said. I remember laying in bed right now one night when we were trying to like, okay, are we ready to get a website or an email account, something set up? Are we sure we want to do Cowboys and Mermaids Vacation Rentals? And I remember saying to Ned, I feel like even if we got a condo in New York City, it still fits because it's that whole spectrum thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You covered everything. I love it. It is my all-time favorite. So far, like you guys are number one on my all-time favorite company name. So,
super cool.
I love Cowboys and Mermaids. And I love the, you know, I always tell people, you know, on a 5 or 10 year time horizon, these properties, especially if you're buying quality properties in quality areas, you're going to do very, very well with them. Right. And obviously we have to get from, you know, we have to make sure that we're making money during that time. And it's not a financial drag on us, and they're negative cash flow properties if we make the wrong decisions. But Alpine, Wyoming turned out to be a pretty good jump start into this game. I love that little, it's one of my favorite airports to fly into. I've flown in and out of Alpine Airport right on the banks of Palisades Reservoir. Like literally the runway looks like it's going right into the water, doesn't it? It's pretty
Oh my gosh, it's so much fun coming in there. It is.
It's really a fun area. And then obviously you've got, you know, you're 45 minutes from Jackson Hole. You've got the Tetons right there. You got all kinds of, you know, the Snake River to float. You got all of that outdoor stuff. So good spot to hang out with and visit. And it started with, the highlight is for me, I always tell people when they say, where should we buy? Where do you want to go visit? Like, where do you want to vacation? Right. And pick those areas. Right. And then let's figure out how to make them work as investments, because most areas lend themselves to, you know, good properties and good, bad properties in every area. And so I'm so glad to hear that that's how that's how the journey started.
Sure.
And so we jumped off from that. And then you said, okay, well, maybe I can do this in Florida. Was that the next move?
Yes. So, Ned kind of nerds out on Zillow. He'll look at Zillow to fall asleep at night. And he kept pestering me, I think, for 9 months. He said, I want to go see this little island on the west coast of Florida. It has a runway. Alpine, Wyoming had a runway, so that enticed him that way. This one has a runway as well. Finally, we decided that we should go and see it. I was kind of just like, sure, okay, let's go. Yeah. You know, there were a couple listings that interested me and didn't scare me price point wise. So we went down, and that's a whole story. Ned loves to get into that story about meeting with the realtor on the island and how COVID had just hit. And so we were having to follow all of these rules, but we could fly our own plane. Anyway, it's fun. We went through 30 houses in one weekend with our realtor. The guy eats spinach smoothies and had more energy than we could keep up with. And I seriously fell in love with the island. It's a really unique island. There are no cars on the island. You get to it only by boat or private airplane. And then everybody drives around in golf carts, and it's just white sandy roads. So, I mean, what's not to love? I've always been a palm tree girl. The houses are colorful. It was so much fun. So we fell in love and we made an offer. And that started us on that. And then I think property number three was another house on that island. Cause it was doing, the first one was doing really well. And so we decided to grow from there. And then we rolled into, I think as we were purchasing that one or getting that one completely set up, another island property, but in Washington State came on the market. It happens to be on a tiny island, that has just 800 full-time residents on it. My parents happen to be two of those people. And so that was kind of a natural, again, that life by design, like we're growing a business, a portfolio in places that we want to go to, we need to go to. So then it's called Driftwood Dreams. That's on Lummi Island in Washington. And then most recently we just purchased two condos in Snowmass Village, Colorado. Again, another place that we have fallen in love with skiing in Snowmass. We've been back winter after winter with another group that we travel with. It's another, pilot group actually. That market just, we found a location where we could, a condo unit where we could self-manage. That's something that we look at in all of our properties. So we have seven. I self-manage all of them except for the very first one, Alpine. Remember, I had toddlers and I was like, we're letting another group manage that for us. And we've just stuck with them. We might switch out of that, or we might eventually switch all of them into another management group. But it's been working for us right now. I really like being hands-on. It helps me understand the business. I understand customer service and all of that. So for now, that's how we're rolling.
So how do you and Ned, you know, because this is, I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I've been around real estate investing for 26 years now, 27 years. I'm, you know, since 2000, it's been crazy, crazy run. That's all I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And I've been around a lot of different asset classes, and I've never seen an asset class that families and husbands and wives kind of pair up and run the business together, and kind of finding out what your own little niche is and then being able to work together. Because, you know, one, you become essentially entrepreneurs, right? And you're running your own little business. And so was it, and I do find it more of a kind of a natural, like everybody kind of naturally has their own skill sets, their own interests. And for you guys, it was really, it worked really well because you both have different skill sets. And, you know, like you mentioned, Ned's the numbers guy, the analytics guy, the tax guy, mm-hmm. who's going to be very interested in that. You're going to be more customer service and creating that unique experience, delivering that experience and all of that kind of stuff on the design side, all that. Was that just, I mean, is it even something that had to have a conversation around, or was it just like naturally you just both did your thing?
Yeah. I think, you know, there were probably growing pains, I'm sure. Huh? I'm not a business person from my past. I went to school for elementary education and art, but I only taught for a short amount of years before we grew our family. He has a finance background and does run a business for his career. And so definitely you just start to, you just naturally find your own niches of yeah. what you're strong at and what you're strong at. We try to be a team and talk to each other about, you know, our thought processes on both of those sides. Sometimes he wants to have a say in how we might design a property, and I say, go away, uh-huh. go read your tax books. Right. And sometimes he tries to talk to me about the tax or the number stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that went in one ear and out the other. So right. we're really fortunate that we have that balance, and that we team up well that way. We try to be yeah. good listeners to each other.
No, love it. That's always a recipe for success, right? Is at least be open-minded and let each other like vent when they need to vent, yeah. you know, ask questions when they need to ask questions. And then there's those boundaries too, where you're like, hey, listen, I got the design taken care of. Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you about tax stuff. And you run the number side of it.
We talk all the time about how fortunate we are really to have stumbled upon this. And we joined Vodacy together because I remember that, like, the initial interview stuff with joining Vodacy. I remember talking to one of your team members saying, the two of us together feel like we've got something good, but we feel like little kids with a stick and a string at the end of a dock. And we're just like, this is fun. Yeah. You know, let's try to actually build a team, get things organized, yep. do some tried and true, all the details that Vodacy helps everybody with. And so we have gone for sure from those toddlers with a little stick dangling over the water to someone who's like, you know, maybe driving the boat around with an yeah. actual fishing pole.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Well, and you guys, I mean, you built a beautiful portfolio and it has become just a business now. I mean, it really is something that is, you know, grown to have some real worth on the backside of it with net worth and then also, you know, cash flow and everything else. But that comes at a cost of actually treating it like a business and running it like a business and being able to understand what levers to pull, what works, what, you know, what you can double down on, what you should avoid. Some of those things that you've learned along the way on some of the things you would avoid, like, is there anything that comes to mind of, you know, I mean, I know that there's hiccups in the road, like, and we can talk about, you know, total loss on a property, for example, right. that's being rebuilt right now. But are there other things that you, we always learn from our mistakes. Are there mistakes you made that you were like, man, I'd like to know that, or I'm gonna avoid that in the future? Is there something that comes to mind there?
That's a really good question. Ned probably has a different take on it, and it would be good to ask him as well. I think for me, what you brought up about the property loss. When we bought three Florida properties, boom, 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 and then Hurricane Ian, Hurricane Helene, and Hurricane, I don't even remember, Milton. Mm-hmm. they all hit within 2 years of each other. That was a big expense and loss of rent when we had to get things up and running again. And one of them was completely destroyed. Unfortunately, we leveled it and we're rebuilding from the ground up. So that definitely was a hit. Luckily, thankfully, we're in markets that bounce back, and the people in the area are so good at rolling with the punches when it comes to hurricanes. It's just amazing how, you know, we're up in Wisconsin and a hurricane hits and you hear everybody communicating and talking in Florida and they're like, we'll get this cleaned up. We'll come back. This is what we do, you know, and that, that's been really a neat life lesson to be a part of, but it probably would have been smart of us to maybe not purchase three on the south or the west side of Florida, you know? But we love the area and financially, it does really well with vacation rentals, obviously.
Yeah.
And the prices of the properties continue to, you know, go up in the area, even though it does take those hits. So over time, work out, I think.
But how was your guys', is any lessons learned on insurance or anything you would have done different, or you're glad you actually did with insurance? I know when you go through those major events, I either hear one side of it, like, man, I'm so glad that I had this in place, or man, I wish I would have done this and this on the insurance side.
Insurance is tough. You feel like it is a gamble and it kind of is a gamble because there were things that we would have hoped that had been covered that weren't covered. And there are loopholes like, well, that wasn't caused by wind. That was caused by flooding. That wasn't caused by flooding. That was caused by wind. And so that's really challenging. Yeah, we just didn't have much insurance on the one that we lost because it was such a little cottage that we were like, if it takes some punches when it comes to a hurricane, we'll just fix it. It was a concrete build. It needed to have some updates anyway. Electrical was getting old, things like that. And so we were like, we'll just take it as it comes, not realizing that we could potentially have a complete loss. So you live and learn a little bit, but
And it's, that's, I appreciate you sharing that. Cause I didn't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Cause I always hear, like, we've had, you know, over the years, obviously with thousands of properties within our Vodacy family, we've had a number of total losses between hurricanes, fires, you know, different things that end up being total losses. And in the right insurance and having different things in insurance and learning and down in the hurricane areas, you're exactly right. There's always the insurance companies like, that was wind. That was flooding. That wasn't this, that was that. And, and all those different conversations, it can be a little tricky, right? And so you're like, the other thing is like in our world with short-term rentals, you can insure loss of rents. But that gets really expensive if you start doing that, right? And so you're saying, okay, how much should I actually insure there? Obviously, to your point, it's a bit of a gamble because you don't know if you're going to ever have a total loss or how long you're going to be out. These areas do recover fairly quickly. Yeah. Somebody asked me in certain areas that get completely decimated, how long does it take to recover? And I said, well, in a lot of areas, it might be a couple year build back. It's usually about a 2 year build back is what I say about on average for these areas to get completely kind of rebuilt.
At least when Hurricane Ian hit, that was our first hurricane experience. And the realtor who lives on the island had been through Hurricane Charlie. I don't know what year that was, but it was another major one. He said it's 5 years.
Is it five? Yeah.
So, but that's also on an island that that you can't get to by road. So everything's having to be boated over, but we're talking foliage and stuff like that too. You know, it just, it takes a while for things to really come back. But we were incredibly lucky that we got our two on North Captiva Island up and running again post hurricanes much more quickly than the majority of homeowners. So we were really fortunate with that. And people still wanted to get down there. Yeah. I was like, there isn't even greenery. Like, it's just not paradise right now. But people wanted to vacation and they wanted to support the community that they knew and they loved. And so it's been a really neat experience. Yeah,
that's fun. And it's and you also have a combination of some for the loss of vacationers, which I've always felt the same way. Like most of these markets, the people still want to come and the people are still going to come. And especially the repeat customers that go there on a regular basis, they want to really support the community. They want to support the rebuild and do what they can. But you also have contractors coming in and new people coming in that are trying to do the rebuild. And so you have this different guest avatar that now is having to come in because they're part of the rebuild process as well. Yeah. So
it's a lot of times experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
not very, our favorite part, but luckily there are other favorite parts. So
yeah. How often now you guys are, you know, how often are you guys able to use them as like lifestyle assets? Like I always say, one of the funnest parts about this is we actually get to use our properties and we don't talk about that a ton on the podcast. I don't know why. We should talk about it more. But you know, it's usually what gets us into it and interested in it. But are you guys able to use them? Are you able to enjoy the properties on a regular basis?
Yeah, we love it. You know, and as we grew it, I had this aha moment that no wonder I'm enjoying this, because as a kid growing up, going on vacation was the highlight of the year. I mean, I anticipated it. I was so excited. I enjoyed every moment of being on vacation. And when it would come to an end, I would literally cry. I was an emotional kiddo about vacations ending. And so here we are. Life by design, right?
Yeah.
We're constantly vacationing.
Yeah.
I often call it, well, that ended up being a workation. Work for sure.
Yeah.
And that's partly because I'm so hands-on at our properties. I do the interior design. I do the photographing. So staging for the photos and doing photo shoots with a virtual photographer. And then I'm really particular. I want our properties to be ready and top notch for every single guest arrival. And so when we show up at a property, the first thing I'm doing is assessing bedding. I go to every single pillow and I make sure that the zipper pillow protector is on there, because people, I think, take those things. And then I'm checking that everything's stocked properly. All of our soaps, all of our towels look good. You know, beach towels, bath towels, robes. I just analyze all of it. And then sometimes I even do landscaping and painting. You know, like I'm very hands-on for sure, because I want it to all be really fresh. But we don't share with the world, but pretty much every month we're headed somewhere.
And
that's
a do you have your favorites, or do you like to mix it up?
Yeah, so we rotate. I need to see those pillowcases every so often, and you just crave the places that you know and you love. Like if it's been 9 months since you've been to one of your properties, you're like, I miss it. I want to get back. So
That's awesome. I love that. I love the story of when you were a kid too, because my daughter is the exact same way. She gets so excited. And then every time we leave somewhere, she cries and she's so sad. And I'm like, when you get to grow out of this, you're like 14 now. You still cry every time.
Oh my gosh. I don't anymore because of the lifestyle that we build, but I promise you, I still would be if we hadn't built this lifestyle. Usually I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be home. I checked the calendar. I'm going to be home for 3 solid weeks coming. It's gone to the other extreme. So it's fun. And it's a neat conversation to have with your kids when you're like, you know, I see that you enjoy that. You might not be very content working a desk job, you know? It's a family affair for sure. Our kids watch us work hard and build this. And we'll see where it might, you know, rub off onto them.
How old are they? How are the kids?
They're now 16, 15, 13.
All right. Yep. Right. Right there. That's right where they're starting. My kids are 14. They're going to be 15 in May. So they're right there. Right there with you. So that's it's fun to watch and see how, like to your point, like I'm still kind of like, where are they going to really latch onto this and how and at what capacity?
Yeah. Great family conversations. Lots of good bonding, a lot of time, you know, sitting together, traveling. And so it's been fantastic for our marriage and for our kids. We're really thankful.
I love it. I love the story. I love having like just seeing what you guys have built, and still love the brand. You know, the Cowboys and Mermaids brand is by far and away my favorite. So, and for those of you that are listening, as always, we post links in the show notes so you can go check out Ned and Molly's portfolio, and obviously go check out their branded vacation rental site of Cowboys and Mermaids Vacation Rentals. And so you don't even have to. That's easy to remember, but you don't even have to remember. We'll put it in the show notes or wherever you're listening or watching. So, fantastic. Molly, as we wrap up, is there anything that comes to mind, or just do you want to give your advice to your younger self and say, hey, listen, I want you to, like, here's something I learned along the way. Here's something that I wish I knew before I started, or here's just a piece of advice that my younger self, I wish I'd like to follow. Is there something that comes to mind there?
Yeah. I think, don't be afraid to do hard things, and Rome was not built in a day.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. It's go ahead. Sorry.
No, those aren't like natural to me. That's why they're lessons in all of this playing out. But those are things that Ned, being my partner in this business, and my husband, he reminds me of those things because, you know, when you're so hands-on building a website and growing, you know, a guest list and all of that, it takes time, and you have to do uncomfortable things, you know, that sometimes you just have to, those growing pains, like I can do this. It might not come naturally to me, but I can do it. So
love it. I love both of those pieces of advice. Like it's like we so underestimate what we are capable of, and we avoid those uncomfortable, hard things. And I love the advice of saying, hey, listen, you can do it. You can do the hard things. Don't be afraid to try it. And then the Rome wasn't built in a day, right? We so overestimate what we should be doing in 30 days, but we underestimate what we can do in a year, right? And so it's like, it's so true. Just start taking a step forward every single day, right? And before you know it, you look back and you're like, man, look how far I traveled. And it's so true. And so you guys have a lot to be proud of. You know, super appreciate this conversation. And then we'll jump Ned on, and I'm going to grill him with all like the business details of it, right? And
he can't wait. You guys are going to have fun.
That's awesome. We will have fun. Well, I had fun today as well, Molly. And those of you listening, I know that you guys enjoy these shows as much as I do. These are by far my favorite shows, episodes of the week, when I get to sit down with short-term rental investors and just have a conversation and let you guys listen in. And so if you enjoyed this, you guys know, while you're listening, you didn't have to listen to a bunch of ads. I don't run ads or sponsorships on the show. So the only way it grows is if you guys share it. And so please share it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Jake was just telling me that about 56% of our listeners and downloads don't subscribe. And so those of you that are regular listeners, subscribe. Those things help us get the show out. The algorithm will share it with other people just like you. So if you're not a subscriber on the podcast platform or on YouTube, please subscribe, and so that you algorithm will help us share it with other people just like you. And the final most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode is pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.